the person that you know that's been serving to God the longest, that you know of somebody to be serving God, the devil's still trying to trip them up. He's still trying to turn them around. He's persistent. He just keeps coming. He keeps pounding. But we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Amen. We rise up against the enemy of our souls. And one of the ways to defeat an enemy, and this is scriptural, but this also works in secular terms too. One of the ways to defeat a competition or to defeat an enemy, if you're in business and you want to do better than what somebody that's competing against your competition, you have to know what their tactics are. And if you know what their tactics are, you can defeat them. Well, we know what the tactic of the enemy is. And what's that tactic? He's trying to turn all of us around. And we can defeat him. Amen. The one place in the Bible there, it tells us, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Don't be like, well, I didn't realize that, you know, that was the enemy coming against me in that area. And the request that was made in prayer this morning, it was a sincere request, and I appreciate it. But really what's going on in this country, they were talking about all the political unrest. That's demonic activity. Amen. We need to pray against that demonic activity. The enemy of your soul and my soul is also trying to destroy this country. Why would he want to destroy this country? Because of the religious freedoms that we have in this country. This country, to this point in history, is the only country in the world that has sent more people to other nations of the world with the message of the gospel than any other country. And the enemy doesn't like America. He doesn't like those religious liberties and freedoms that we have. He wants to destroy this country. And so when you're praying, amen, about political situations, don't pray one side or the other. Don't be a Democrat. Don't be a Republican. Be a Christian and pray against demonic activity, amen, that's ruling and reigning in high places, because that's the kind of thing that we fight against. We don't fight against flesh and blood. There's too many people that are fighting against flesh and blood. Amen. And a lot of Christians get caught up in that too when it comes to these political things. You need to be on your knees in prayer. Amen. You need to be praying against that demonic activity. And you look at these things and you wonder, why and how is it that they do the things that they do? Because they are under tremendous, influence. I'll say it this way. They're under the tremendous influence of demonic activity. And demonic activity drives people. It drives them to do things. They don't even know why they do the things that they do. That's the kind of thing that we're fighting against. And so if we recognize that, it can help us better in our prayers. Amen. You want to help this country? People say, if you want to help the country, get out and vote. Well, I can tell you something better than getting out and voting, although you shouldn't neglect that. Get on your knees in prayer. When's the last time you fasted for this country and all of the things that are going wrong in it, and you've prayed and you've cried out to God and you've had a broken heart about it? None of us like to see what's going on, but we need to recognize we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we're here on Sunday nights at 5:30 for prayer. Amen. And that's part of your prayer. You can make that part of your prayer when you're in here praying on Sunday nights and throughout the week when you're praying. Amen. Pray against those spiritual wickedness in high places, because not only does it affect governments, it affects communities, it affects places that you work, and it's also in your homes. Demonic activity, spiritual wickedness in high places. He comes against your homes. He comes against your own personal life. You need to recognize who the enemy is, what he's up to. Be not ignorant concerning the devil's devices, so we could go out there, amen, and we can win the battle because we know what he's up to. Amen. It don't take us by surprise. You have your Bibles with you this morning. We're going to look over into the book of Deuteronomy, and this has been a theme that has just been going through my heart, and it seems like almost every Sunday, at least Sunday morning, it keeps coming back to me. And so I don't know if you figured it out, but recently I've been preaching a lot of the same sermons, but I've been using different references into Scripture, and that is that God wants all of you. God wants you to completely submit and surrender yourself to Him 100%. He doesn't want you to hold any area of your life or yourself back from Him. He wants you to be totally committed to Him. I can look at you and think you're doing pretty good. You seem to be really committed to God, but God knows, amen, the thoughts and the depth of our heart. And God knows if I'm really committed to Him. God knows if you're really committed to Him. And the depth of the commitment that you have to God, that is the foundation. That is the cornerstone. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week. We have our salvation in Him. But that commitment that we have to Him, how committed are you to following the Lord? Are you just going to follow the Lord when it's convenient, when it's good? And when it's Sunday morning, I don't want to be in, they used to say it back in the day a lot. You don't hear the expression too much anymore. But I just don't want to be a Sunday go meeting Christian. Man, I have the victory on Sunday morning. I come to church. I can sing. I can praise God. And the rest of the week, you wouldn't even know that I was a Christian. There's a lot of people that do things like that. Why is it? Because they're not really committed to the Lord. They know enough, and they don't want to burn in hell for an eternity. They believe there's a heaven. They believe there's a hell. They say they believe in the work that Christ did, but they're not getting Christ in His fullness. Are you getting into the fullness of Christ? And Christ really wants to get inside of us. Amen. And He wants us to be infiltrated with Him, where we just, when we're sweating Christ, and and the love of Christ just oozes out of us. Wherever you go, people can see the love of God working in you. They can see the good works that you're doing. And I believe it's in the book of Acts that talks about it, that everywhere that Jesus went, He was doing good. Even though there was evil against Him, He was doing good. He wasn't taken up by the conspiracies that were against Him. And they were making Him and giving Him the image of being a false prophet. He's being a liar. He's being blasphemous. That didn't stop Him from doing good. He did good wherever He went. And we talked about it last week. He was a man that was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. But that didn't stop Him from doing good. He never got to the point that He went around, woe is me. Oh, it's just so bad. I'm having such a hard time in this life. Nobody wants me around. They're after me here. They're after me over there. So I'm going to stop doing good. He kept doing good in the face of opposition. And we need to keep doing good in the face of opposition. That's not easy to do. If you're out there doing good and you're doing right and somebody comes against you, our natural intuition is to just, I'm not doing that again. I'm done being nice. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm done being nice. I'm done being the nice guy. No, we as Christians, we need to continue to be the nice guy. Amen. To always do the right thing. I say it this way, to always take the upper road. Amen. Don't take that lower road. And the lower road would be to back down and back away because of rejection that we have received. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, this is talking about the great commandment, and we're going to read this, and then we're going to get into this. This is our duty. This is something that Jesus wants from every one of us. This isn't something that Jesus gives us a test, and He gives us a multiple choice. Now choose which one of these you want. This is something that you must do if you're going to follow Jesus. If you're going to make it into heaven, you must do this. You perhaps may be able to make it into heaven if you don't do these completely with all of your heart, but you're going to struggle getting there. You're going to be those ones that we say get in there by the, you know, on your shirt tail, you get in there by the skin of your teeth. Either you're in or you're out. But this is something that God expects of us. Jesus repeated what I'm going to read here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. He repeated it in the New Testament. He wanted to drive it home. In fact, He called it the Great Commandment. And let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Many of us get that down. We stop right there. But we don't go to the next part, and that's where we're failing. And what's the next part? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Father, we thank You for the reading of the word today, God. I pray that You will help us, O God. Lord, as we bring forth this word today, that it will become alive within us, God. The light will turn on within us, and we'll realize, Lord, where we may be falling short in our lives. Lord, in our service to you, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we're looking at what our duty is. And this, what I read here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning, it's also found in Matthew 22, Mark 12, and Luke 10. Amen. And this is for us. This is for us to love God with all of our heart. As it says in verse number 5, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And that takes effort. It takes diligence. It takes work. It takes determination. And it doesn't necessarily come easy to us. Oh, we think when we give our heart to the Lord that it's just going to be so easy to serve the Lord. We are living in a fleshly body. We have red blood flowing in our veins, and that carnal man within us still likes to rise up even when we give ourselves over to Christ. Amen. We have to crucify our flesh. We have to be determined that we're going to do what the Word of God says that we should do. Amen. We have to be diligent about it. It doesn't come easily. What doesn't come easily? The first part of that, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. What does that talk about? You love God with all of your emotions. You love Him with all of your emotions. You praise Him with your happiness. You praise Him with your smile. You praise Him with your thankfulness. Just as you're going through the day, you're praising God by having a smile upon your face. You're praising God by having a thankfulness within your heart. God wants us to do that. God wants us to have a happiness about us, not a doom and a gloom. You can get doomy and gloomy news, but you can still have a happiness about you. You can still have a smile upon your face. That's what it means to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Amen. It's easy when everything is good to have happiness, to have a smile, to have thankfulness. Oh, that's easy to do. Oh, it's easy to be happy on your birthday. It's easy to be happy at Christmas time. It's easy to be happy when everything goes your way. Somebody gifts something to you. Oh, that's so easy to do then. Amen. Naturally it is. But with all of your heart means that at all times, even when things are not going the way that you think they should be going in your life, you're still going to have a smile on your face. You're still going to have some happiness down in your heart. You're still going to have some thankfulness down in your heart and in your soul. That's what it is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Lord God, it doesn't matter what happens around me. Amen. I'm still going to serve you. God, you're still good. Even when bad things happen, God is still good. God can never do evil. There is no evil in Him. There is no shadow of turning away in Him. Amen. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and He'll stick with you in those good times, and He'll be with you in those bad times. We're talking about serving the love or loving the Lord your God with all of your heart. And even when God says wait, you ask God for something. If I love the Lord with God with all my heart and God says wait, I'm still going to keep loving Him. I'm still going to keep serving Him. And I think about the man that came to Him, and Jesus was working with him, and he needed a physical healing, and Jesus prayed. I can't remember exactly what he did first, and he says, how's that vision going? And this is an interesting one, because most of the times when Jesus did anything to help people, they received an instantaneous miracle. And he said to the blind man, he says, can you see now? I'm rephrasing a little bit. And he says, well, now I see men as trees walking. And he could have just stopped right there and received half of his blessing from God. But for whatever reason, there was another step of faith that God wanted him to take. But eventually that man did receive his sight. Even when God says no, you want something really badly. And it's your flesh that wants that. That carnal man, it wants certain things. And you want to go in a direction. But you being a spiritual person, you reach out to God. You love God with all your heart and all your soul. And you're praying and you're hoping that God will put His approval on something that you want to do. And you just know in your spirit, no, I can't do that. I can't go in that direction. I can't purchase that thing, whatever it might be in your life. Amen. You still love the Lord with all of your heart. And the hardest one probably is when bad things happen, you still love the Lord your God with all of your heart. Lord, I still love you. I still am going to serve you. And we think about Job. Amen. And he says, though God slay me, yet I'm going to trust him. Our brother shared this a little bit yesterday, and then he went a step farther, and it says, I will maintain my ways before you. If you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, you're going to maintain your ways before him. You're going to love him when things are going the way you want them to go in your life, and you're going to love him when things aren't going good in your life. And it's not maybe just opposition coming against you in the form of other people, but it could be a health issue that you have. It could be many different, a variety of things coming against you. In those bad times, you're still going to maintain your ways before God. I'm still going to be found in God's house. God's still going to find me reading his word. God's still going to hear me daily praying unto him, even when everything is contrary and you get a diagnosis. Nobody would want this diagnosis. It would be a difficult one to get, but it has happened to plenty of people over the years. You got a diagnosis. You got 4 weeks left to live. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, you're still going to maintain your ways before him. You're going to do the best of your ability to be in God's house, to read God's word, to pray to him. You don't turn against God if you love him with all of your heart when things go contrary in your life. Amen. The depth of your love isn't very deep. And this is something that God wanted people to do. And he told this to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. And Christ repeated it in the New Testament, even when bad things happen. And so the key to contentment is to love God at all times. Good times and bad times, I love God. You know, I've heard people say this before and thank them, you know, thank them for their honesty. They've come to times in their life that they might even say to God, God, I'm not liking you very much right now because this or whatever's going on in my life. I don't want to fall into a trap of saying something like that. There might be times that it's more difficult for you to love God, but you're still going to love God. When things are not going good in your life, it's more difficult to pray, but you're going to pray anyways. It's more difficult to read the word, but you're going to read it anyways. You really get down and discouraged, and the oppression of the enemy's coming against you. It's not always going to be easy to come to church, but you're going to go to church anyways because you love the Lord your God with all of your heart. You're going to maintain your way before God. Nothing's going to turn you around. Amen. Because life has its ebb. You have your good times and you have your bad times. We're old enough as adults to realize that. And even the younger ones, perhaps by now, they're starting to realize that. There's good times in life and there's bad times in life. We don't want those bad times. We don't live in fear of those bad times. Oh, things are going so good for me. I'm just afraid of what bad thing's going to happen to me next. There's people that live like that. Amen. We shouldn't live in the fear of those things that might come our way. But we are going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. No matter what happens to me, I am going to trust the Lord. Amen. And we understand this. We're not happy for the bad things. In everything, give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't say to give thanks for everything, but in everything. We just have a thankful heart. We're just grateful for God. I mean, there's people that do it. They get a diagnosis, they got 4 weeks to live, and they'll talk to God and they'll say, God, I love you. You're so good to me. I appreciate you. There's nobody that treats me as good as you do. My faith I'm going to maintain before you. To keep serving you. Amen. But they're not happy about the bad things that happen. If anybody got news that they had 4 weeks to live, you can't say that you're happy about that. Now, some people might if they were having a really hard time in life, and sometimes it gets a little bit greedy, and I'm getting off on a rabbit trail a little bit here. I've heard people before, when they're going through a really hard time in their lives, they wish that the Lord would come. They wish that the Lord would come. Oh, Jesus, this would be a good time for you to come. And it's because of the thing that they're facing in their life. We should never look at it that way. Amen. We're not happy about those things. But what we can do is we have to see God through the hard times. And we know this because Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you unto the end. And there's times, and it's okay to talk to God like this. Lord, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. Lord, I'm feeling a little bit forsaken right now. And I shared that last week when Jesus was up on the cross. He even said those words. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he felt like he was being forsaken. And if you feel like God has forsaken you, you can say that to him, but you don't go down that road and be oppressed and get depressed and think that he really has, because you know that he hasn't. Amen. And so God doesn't give this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. When everything's going good in your life, when bad things happen, you don't have to love me so much. He didn't give us that option. So we have to love God at all times. And to love God at all times, it becomes a learning process. It becomes a learning process. Amen. And we learn a little more each day how to love God. Amen. A little bit more each day. There's a song that's been written, but I love him a little bit more now than I did yesterday. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us. So, in his life, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Paul, he wrote most of the books of the New Testament, the majority of them, the epistles. He had hard times in his life, and Paul said, no matter what happens, I am content. I am content in the place that I am. I can live through bad times. He said, I can live on almost anything, or I can live on almost nothing. And you'll find a scripture reference for this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. We're talking about loving God. Amen. With all of your heart, we look at Paul as a gift man. Oh, he was blessed. He must have been somebody great. But Paul faced hard times. And no matter what comes, he said, I'm content. He said, I can, and I have lived through bad times. I've had almost nothing. Amen. I can do nothing. I can do nothing. But he said, I can live through everything. He said, I can do everything. And he says, I am and overcome through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Amen. We are more than able to do that which God asks us to do. We can go and take that mountain that God wants us to take. And so living with courage and heart is a good way to remind yourself to love God. You have to live with courage and with heart. And when a hard time comes your way, people are watching. Excuse me. When you're going through a hard time, people are watching. They're watching to see how you're going to react. They're watching to see what your action is going to be. So we have to live with courage and with heart. Amen. And it reminds ourselves to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. The Israelites thought of the heart as the organ that gives physical life, and then also the place where you think and make sense of the world, where you feel emotions and make choices. We have to love God with all of our heart. We sang that song this morning. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Got to make it to heaven somehow. There's nothing that's going to turn me around. Although the devil tempts me and he tries to turn me around, the song says, he's not going to turn me around because I am determined I'm going to make heaven my home. So we love the Lord with all of our heart. And then the next part of that verse 5 is this. And with all of thy soul. And that's the part of you that always knew you were created by God. Just down inside. You just always... I'm created by God. That's your soul. You just know there's a creator. You know there's a greater power out there. And you recognize that greater power as God. Amen. You quiet yourself. And when you still yourself, and something inside of you knows that there is a God. You just know that there is a God. Have you ever had those thoughts? You're just sitting by yourself and the thought will come to you, is there really a God? Is God really out there? Is this just some man-made idea and some deceptive thing that we're tricked into believing? And when you start thinking in the depths of that, is there really a God out there? You just know down in your soul, there's a creator. There's a God out there. There's somebody that cares about me. Amen. How do you know that? When you go around You look and you see the universe and you study the sciences and the planets and the universe that it's out there. When you think about your own body, I believe it's in the Psalms, it says we are beautifully, we are wonderfully made. God knew what he was doing, the function of the human body. You could get a lot of sermons out of that. That just didn't go boom and there it was. God is very masterful in creating us. Something in you knows that there has to be a creator. That's your soul that's making that connection with God. You just know there has to be a God. And within everyone, amen, God has allowed this to be. There is a void in everyone that can only be satisfied by God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. It was void. There was just nothing there. And God's created that void within each one. There's an emptiness that God allowed to be created in each one of us. I shouldn't say created. It became within us after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, amen, with the sin of Adam and Eve, then there created a void within us that there was something in us that's searching. It's searching. It's looking to feel that emptiness within our heart and within our soul, amen, that it's there. And we know that that void can only be satisfied by him, okay? You just simply know. I believe that there is a God, and he loved me enough that he sent his only begotten son to die for me. How do you know that? That's your soul that's speaking. You just know it. You just have that affirmed deep down in. There's no doubt in my mind that there's a God. I don't go around doubting that there's a God. I believe that there is a God. Amen. And so I do that with my soul. I have a solid, amen. Your soul can take you to a solid relationship with God. Amen. More than you're able to do. It's with your soul, within that depths of your soul. You love him with all of your heart and all your soul. Your soul can take you to a solid relationship with God. Your heart won't take you to a solid relationship with God. You do that, but it's your soul. You just know that you know that you know. Nobody can talk you out of it. And so if we do it with our heart, that means that we do it intensely. I intensely do this. It's not like, well, I think perhaps there is a God, and it would be in my best interest to believe in him, because if there is a God and I don't believe in him, and then I'm going to be eternally damned, so I'm going to weigh the option out here. It's in my best interest just to accept this idea that there's a God. That's not doing it with all of your heart. That's not doing it with all of your soul. If you do it with all of your heart, you do it intensely. And if you do it with your soul, that means you do it sincerely and most loving. We are really convinced that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a God, there was a war in heaven, there is a devil. There's a lot of people that don't believe in Satan. They don't believe that there's a Lucifer. They just don't believe it. If anybody doesn't believe in God and they're a self-proclaimed atheist, as we'll call them, then they better not believe that there's a hell. And so a good question to ask an atheist is, where does all the evil come from? Where does it all come from if there isn't a devil? And so we know that there is. And so if we serve him with our soul, we do that sincerely. We do that most loving. And then we're going to get into our strength here in a minute. But in this saying that I have written here, and if we serve him with all of our might or with all of our strength, that means we do it with all of our energy. We do it intensely. We do it sincerely. We do it with all of our energy. Well, I come to church. Amen. And you've heard people say this. I've come to church to receive from the Lord. I come to be a participant. I come to be a worshiper today. And that song that's sung sometimes, let the worshipers arise. I'm a worshiper. I'm going to do it intensely. I'm going to do it sincerely. I'm going to do it lovingly. I'm going to put my energy into it. I don't care how bad I sweat. I don't care how hot or how cool it is in the house of God. I'm serving God, and that's the way I'm going to do it. And the third part of that says to love him with all of your might, amen, or with all of your strength. Do your actions show a love for God? The actions that you do, they show a love for God. The actions that we do as believers should show a love for God. What actions are we talking about? If we love the Lord and we're going to put our might and strength into it, we're going to read God's word and we're going to obey God's word, because we're going to do it intensely, sincerely, with all of our energy. We're going to read something in God's word. Oh, God, help me. I haven't been doing that. And you're going to involve yourself in God's word. You're going to obey it. And if you don't do that, the word of God doesn't do any good for you unless you do what it says. Many people think just because they know what the Bible says, they know the Ten Commandments, they know what God wants, somehow they find a security in that. It's not enough just to know this. Amen. You have to be a participant in it. You have to put His Word in your mind and in your heart. Amen. You put His Word in your mind and your heart. But if you don't put it in your mind and your heart and you just have it there, amen, it's only information that you have. God's looking for a transformation in your life. Has a transformation happened in your life? You must take action, amen, to remember what you have heard and learned. What I heard and learned yesterday as the speaker in the men's retreat was speaking to us, amen, yesterday morning and yesterday afternoon. He shared from the Word with us. If I just heard that, that's okay. But if it's going to help me, I have to take action and I have to remember what I heard and learned. And we have to be the same way. That's serving God with all of your strength. Amen. God likes it when we act on His Word. Amen. Just as you as parents realize that with your children, that there's a sense of satisfaction. It's sweeps over you when your child acts upon your word. Sometimes we're almost in disbelief. I told them to go and clean their room. And would you believe they're cleaning their room? I can't hardly believe they're doing it. You like it when there's action on your word. Amen. And so we serve Him with our strength. People see your example. Amen. People see your example. You are presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. That's your reasonable service. We can say we love God and we're following God, but people know if you really love God and are following God. People in your own family members, the husband, the wife, the children, mother, father, in the household, they know if those people in there are really loving God or if they're just saying it down at the church house. Amen. And so we present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. That's our reasonable service. Amen. Doing right all the time. Amen. God wants us to do right all the time. Everywhere Jesus went, He was doing good. It's not always right. It's not always easy to do the right thing all the time. When somebody smites you on the right cheek, turn the left to them. When somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with them. It's not easy to live like that, but God helps us. This is talking about serving God with all, amen, of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. Amen. And if we're doing this, if we're serving Him with all of our strength, we're caring for the spiritually and the physically wounded. We're caring for them. We're not thinking, well, they got hurt. That's too bad. That's I'm never going to let that happen to me. And God be merciful to them, then help them. And help them. God wants you to help someone that's been spiritually hurt or wounded. Over the years, it happens. Amen. They get misinformation. They don't process the Scripture properly as it was presented to them. And they become hurt by it. And if we're serving God with all of our money, we're going to go out there and we're going to help them doing the hard things in life, even when there's no reward for it. That's what God wants us to do. That's serving Him with all of our might. Amen. The most wanted reward that we should ever want. We all like the pat on the back. We all like recognition. That's naturally. But the greatest reward any one of us could ever hear is for God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. That's the greatest reward that you'll ever receive, to hear those words. Amen. And so we need to. Amen. As we're serving God, there's going to be times that you're going to need to step out of your comfort zone. You're going to need to do some things that you just, I know I should do this. I'm uncomfortable doing it. And a lot of times we just get to that point. We don't do it. But let me admonish you this morning. When you have those feelings come to you and you just feel like you should really do, I'm just not comfortable doing it, step out and do it, and you will see the blessing that will come with it. You will see results. God will help you. It's the enemy of our soul that doesn't want us to step out of our comfort zone. Amen. We step out of our way to help someone that's in need. It's easy to say I love God with all my might, but it's not easy to do. And if we're loving God with all of our might, we seek God above all else. I want more of Jesus, more and more. Another song we sing, more of you. I want more of you. I've had it all, but I want more of you. And then verse 6 says, it will be found in your heart. It will be found in your heart to serve God. Amen. In verse 6, as verse 5 tells us, it's going to be found in our heart. And these words which I command thee shall be in thine heart. We're serving God. It should be in your heart. It shouldn't be pulling teeth. This shouldn't be something that upsets you. It's within your heart. It's your desire. I want to serve him, as verse 5 says, with the Lord, my God, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might. It's just down in me. I don't have to drum this up. I don't have to get excite myself. I don't have to pray, God, help me do this. There's something within me that wants to do it, verse 6 says. And in verse 7, you don't hear this too often, but they were instructed in the Old Testament to do it this way. Maybe because we have a hard time getting it down for ourselves. But if we get this down for ourselves, then, in verse 7, we are also to carefully teach our children. What are we to teach our children? We are to teach our children, and I'll add grandchildren, how to love God. As verse 5 says, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all of your might. We teach our children to do it. That's going to take time, and it's going to take effort. And it's not just our children. When we're in a church, and if you have those that you are responsible for in Sunday school or in youth group or different activities, and you have different times where you're being a part of a class and you're the one instructing them, what you are doing, you are teaching them how to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. Yes, sometimes it seems like a difficult task because we know a lot of situations, the homes that the children might come from. Amen. But the Word of God is powerful. We're to do that. Amen. We're to be that example for them. Amen. We don't do that in our own homes. You just don't do it at church. Amen. On church days. But continually, we're supposed to be teaching our children and our families about God. Amen. And you can look in verse 7 and you'll see this. When you're sitting at home, you're going to talk about God. You're going to have to get the headphones off. You're going to have to lay the electronic devices aside. And if you have a television, you're going to have to turn the television off. We've had some, Sister Judy could testify to this. Some of the most deep spiritual talks that we had in our home when we were growing up as a family, and we weren't doing it just because we didn't want to go to bed. We would have devotions at night before we would go to bed. And it wasn't some big religious service. There would just be a Bible story that was read. And sometimes some subjects would come up and some questions would come up, and they were good. We'd sit there, and that's what this is talking about. When you're sitting at home, you teach your children. You take the time to do that, and then you can go on. Whatever you're doing throughout the day in your home, you're reminding them about Jesus and about God and what God would want in any given circumstance. When you lie down at night and when you get up in the morning, you're talking about Jesus. It's always before them. It's always before your children how to love God. They have to be taught how to do it. Amen. They have to be taught how to do it. And verse 8 says, bind them for a sign upon your hand. And what was that? They were to be mindful of God's laws in everything they did or thought. Be mindful of what God wants. Going to school, doing this or that. My friends invite me to do this or that. I have to be mindful of God's laws. What does God say about this circumstance? How would Jesus handle this situation? Amen. And then put them for frontlets between thine eyes. And what does that mean? It means to regard God's law foremost in our minds. It's not what I want, but it's what does God want? What does God want? Paul talked about it in a different way in the New Testament. He talked about the flesh and the spirit warring against each other. But in reality, this is what he was talking about. You have to keep them as frontless between your eyes. You have to regard his law foremost in your minds. What Jesus said matters. What the world says doesn't matter. What God's word says matters. This is what's going to take me to heaven. This is the roadmap to heaven. This is going to help me to get there. And I have to keep that ever before me. I have to remind myself of it. Even though I'm an adult now, I have to regard his law. I have to keep it foremost in my mind. I'm about to go and do something. I have to think. And I preached a sermon here a lot of years ago. And it was, and you've heard this saying before, in any given circumstance or situation, if you're having trouble with this, stop and think, what would Jesus do? And if you really meditate and think on that, and you can do that rather quickly, you'll know what you should and what you shouldn't do. And then the verse 9 says, write them on the post of thy house. They wrote, and what that means is to write the word of God in our hearts. And then we can go to Psalms 119:11, and David did this. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I want to serve God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, with all my mind, with all my strength. I mean, it's worth it. It's worth it. We put a lot of time and effort into so many things in life that aren't going to matter when we draw our last breath. It's not going to matter what kind of truck I'm driving, what kind of hunting equipment I have, what sports team I'm rooting for, who I have for friends, and so on and so forth, who my children are. None of that's going to matter when I'm on my deathbed. It's going to matter about what kind of a relationship do I have with Him. We all have that responsibility. Those other things, when we're in life, God wants us to take care of them. But is God foremost in your life? Make God foremost in your life today. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. We're going to pray. Then we're going to sing that little chorus. And maybe next time that I share here on Sunday morning, God will let me go in a different direction. But we got to get this. We want to sing that chorus. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of His great love, rich and full of free. And then here's the important part. I want more of Jesus, so I'm going to give Him more of me. We could sing that other one, more of you, more of you. I've had it all, but what I need is more of you. But I want more of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us today, God, to realize the importance of this, God. Lord, that we serve you with our heart, with our soul, with our spirit, with our mind, with our strength, God, with our effort. God, that's what my life is about. That's my purpose here upon this earth. Lord, that void that's within me is going to be filled when I serve you the way that I'm supposed to serve you. Help us, God, Lord, to desire more of you, to want more of you, God. Lord, that we'll never think, oh, I've got enough of God. I don't need any more. We'll never fall into that trap, God, but we'll always go into deeper depths and higher heights with you, God. Lord, we'll be sold out to you. We thank you for it. Help us in the name of Jesus. Let's just sing this a few times in closing this morning. Seal that up.